I love you, brother. Preach about 25 minutes for us.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. What a blessing it is to be here. Enjoyed the wonderful singing and the wonderful preaching this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We'll only read the first three verses of that chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Beginning at verse 1, when you find your place, ask you to stand to reverence the reading of God's Word. Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, but the Lord." Amen. "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. These two letters to the Thessalonians, probably written between 49 and 54 A.D. Paul is writing from Corinth. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 17, that on Paul's second missionary journey, he visited Thessalonica. He had left Philippi. You remember what happened there and how God saved the jailer and Lydia being saved. I believe many more were saved there. And he'll go from Thessalonica with Silas and Timothy, and he'll travel about 100 miles, I guess, into the land there of Thessalonica. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 17 that for three Sabbath days, as Paul's manner was, he went there unto the synagogue of the Jews and he preached unto them the Scriptures. He opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and been buried and risen again from the dead. After three Sabbath days, the Bible says that Paul and Silas and Timothy, some believed in Thessalonica. Many Jews pushed them out of the land of Thessalonica, and they made their way onto the land of Berea, the Bible says. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 3, verse number 6, apparently Paul has sent Timothy back to Thessalonica to get a word about how that the believers there in Thessalonica are doing. And Paul gets word from Timothy that their faith is growing. If you look there in chapter number 1 of 2 Thessalonians, you'll find that their faith is growing exceedingly. And the Bible says that the love and the charity that they have toward each other is abounding. What a blessing. So he gets word back. And I tell you a little bit about Thessalonica. They were going through those times that the preacher spoke of tribulation and trial. There was many false teachers. Yet Paul does some great discipleship training in these two letters. He talks about two different days. He talks about the day of Christ, and he talks about the day of the Lord. Now they were being told that they were. Now we know that now we're going through those suffering times, those days of trials and tribulation, as the preacher spoke of. But then there's another time of tribulation coming. And those people were almost to be convinced as if they were headed through Daniel's 70th week already. Paul came along and said, "I've got good news. The day of Christ ain't even take place yet. But the day of Christ is going to take place. The day of Christ is imminent." Tell me about the day of Christ, preacher. The Bible says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's found, that teaching is found through the mouth of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. These people were being told that they were in days that is spoken of over in Matthew 24, days that Daniel saw of Daniel's 70th week, but Paul said no. And if you read and study, and you've studied the book of 2 Thessalonians, you know that the day of the Lord is mentioned, when the Lord will ascend from heaven on a white horse. Revelations 19 said his name's the Word of God. And on his vesture, it's dipped in blood. And on his thighs written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By the way, that's after the rapture of the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9. He's not reserved us under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes! We are going through those trials and tribulations now, but there's tribulation coming to this world that's never been seen before and never shall be seen after. And thank God, God's not reserved it for me. I'm headed out of here, gonna check out at the sound of the trumpet. Hallelujah. I like how the Lord has linked our messages this morning, because in these verses I believe Paul is drawing attention. He's asking them to pray. Asks them about three things. About praying about three different things. And you can hear in his tone of his voice about the suffering they're having to go through right now. But aren't you glad one of these days, aren't you glad glory is to come? The world thinks they're living it up now, but they're tottering to their destruction. They realize not the hell that awaits them. They see not those days that are coming to this world of God's wrath. I'm so glad I'm saved today. I'm so glad I'm kept by the power of God, aren't you? Don't you look at that first word, Preacher Daggett-Hart. It says finally. Now some people would say maybe that's just an in conclusion statement. Now I believe it's more than that. That word finally is the Greek word loipon. It's the Greek word loipon, and it literally means this. It means for the rest of our time. I'd like to hear some Christians talking again that are determined with the rest of the steps that God is going to give them. I don't know how much rest of the time I've got, but whatever steps I've got, I want to be following in the footsteps of the Master. I want to be reminding myself that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And I want to finish these steps and be able to look back and say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul loved that word finally. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Over in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now look at that word brethren. Don't you like that word? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I've got a birth I can't remember, but I've got one in March of 1983 that I still ain't got over yet. And I'm now part of the family of God. And I like that brethren talk, don't you? Finally, my brethren, pray for us. Now watch your Bible right here. That word pray, it's the Greek word, if I pronounce it correct, prosukoma. First time it appears in Scripture is in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, around verse number 44. Now, if you read and study 2 Thessalonians, you'll see the persecution that they're going through. I read behind some theologians that said between the first letter and the second letter of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, they went through so much more persecution. That word pray, it's found first, I believe, in Matthew 5:44, and it says something like this, love your enemy. Let me read it to you. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. There it occurs. The very first time. Which despitefully use you and persecute you. In days of persecution. What do we need, preacher? Oh, we need prayer. Oh, we need to go. I appreciate how God speaks to me through his word, don't you? What God has said, he's already said. And he said it in them 1189 chapters. And
66 books. I like it when he talks to me through his word. I like it when I get down and I give attendance under reading, as Paul told Timothy, and God speaks to me through his word. And I like it when I get back down on my knees and I say, now Lord, I don't understand all that, but I believe every drop of it. I believe everything you've told me through your word. I tell you what we need in this time of persecution. We need prayer. The second time that word prosukomai, pray, occurs in your Bible, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, when Jesus said, don't pray as the hypocrites do, but steal away in secret and find you a place that you can get along with God. That don't happen much anymore. I'm getting ready to be 39 years old, and I still know where my daddy's prayer spot's at. Oh, there's many times as a young boy, I'd hear him in the loft of the barn. He had a cross nailed on the wall up there. And I'd hear him get down up there. As many times I was out playing ball. As many times. It didn't mean much to me then. It means a lot to me today, friend. He'd get up in that barn loft. And I can hear him crying. I can hear him praying. I can hear him praying, God, help me be a good daddy. God, help me, Lord, to be the daddy that you've orchestrated through your book for me to be. I like it when I'd hear him call my name and weep and say, God bless our church and save souls by your marvelous grace. Brethren, pray for us. It's a blessing when I hear my brethren say, I'm praying for you. I was at a camp meeting not long ago and a preacher came up to me. He said, Lord brought to you to my mind just the other day and I prayed for you. Oh, even better than that, I got something better than that. I got an intercessor in heaven. Luke chapter 22, I'm thinking of it right now. Luke chapter 22, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. Somebody help me. But I have prayed for thee. Amen. Before we even got under the arbor this morning, the Lord Jesus already been to the Father on my behalf, praying for me, lifting me up. I tell you something about that Luke 22. Satan may have a sifter, and he might take the wheat through very painful situations, but I'll tell you something that old bird can't do. He can't change the wheat from what it is. Hallelujah. And that he means to hurt us, God uses it to help us. Amen. Brethren, pray for us. Let's go on in that verse number 1 right there. Verse number 1, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Now, he's talking about the word of the Lord being not hindered. Now, I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. The devil never has been able to stop the word of the Lord. And let me give you this. He sure didn't stop that virgin birth. Behold a virgin. Can you see Isaiah writing it down and the devil saying it'll never happen? It'll never. Behold a virgin. Behold a virgin shall conceive. Can you see Micah, Brother Bagwell, writing and he says, but thou Bethlehem, hallelujah, Ephratah, though thou be little among the nations, out of thee shall he come. Which goings forth have been from everlasting to everlasting. Preacher, what does that mean? When that decree came, it was about 90-some miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I can hear the devil every mile of the way. The Bible says Mary was great with child. I can hear the devil saying, you ain't gonna make it. You ain't gonna make it. Oh, Micah's gonna be wrong. I want to remind you, he didn't stop that. She made it to Bethlehem, and he came forth. Hallelujah. Not a bone of him was broken when they went to break the bones of the thieves. He had already gave up the ghost because no man would take his life. He had the power to lay it down. And thank God he had the power to take it up again. Hallelujah. But I'm reminded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, that Paul talks to the people of Thessalonica and he said, I wanted to come back and see you. Y'all remember this, preacher? But Satan hindered us. I'm talking about the word of the Lord having free course. I love that. I love that. It's the Greek word trecho. It literally means to cut loose and run around. That word is used in Matthew chapter 28, verse 8. I got to tell you this. It's used in Matthew chapter 28, verse 8, when those little women early one morning walked up that path to the borrowed tomb. Hallelujah. Aren't you? Can I say again, a borrowed tomb? Hallelujah. And they walked up that path and said, who shall roll away for us a stone? And the Bible said, an angel descended from heaven like lightning and sat down upon that stone and said, whom seek ye? He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew 28, they ran. Y'all listen to me. They ran back to tell word, give word, and say, he's alive. He's alive. Pray that the word of the Lord may have free course and that we may be delivered. Man, there, from what's already been mentioned this morning, wonder how many is going to try to come against the men of God and say, you can't preach that anymore. They sure didn't call me into this. And I remind you, men of God, listen to me. It's a very sobering thought. I remind you of Galatians 1. That if we or an angel bring any other gospel unto you, then what we've brought to you, let him be accursed. Paul the Apostle said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from another gospel, which is not another. He said, if a man do that, let him be accursed. Paul said in that same chapter, Brother Jonathan, if I would please men, I would not be the servant of Almighty God. He said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. That word wicked, I'm thinking of it right now, that word wicked, porneos, it's where we get pornography from. Jesus used it when he called them generation of vipers. He used that in that verse right there. I thought of that about being delivered. It means to be rescued. Now, when I think about being rescued, I think of maybe danger being within eye's reach. Maybe danger being within. Here's what I'm trying to say, Preacher Dagenhart. I don't know how close unreasonable and wicked men are going to get. But I sure don't want to be like Peter in the book of Galatians that had to be corrected by the. Don't you appreciate the Apostle Paul that loved Peter enough to correct him? Oh, when the circumcision crowd came around, Peter changed his tune. And there was one there. I believe it was Barnabas. There was one there that was to be drawn away with their much dissimulation. And Paul stood up and said, Peter, you know it's not about circumcision or uncircumcision. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't change your tune, men of God, just because unreasonable and wicked men get close. Amen. I know an environment like this, man, if a man couldn't preach in this kind of environment, might as well turn his papers in. But I've learned in my 14 years of ministry that not all places are like this. We might have to stand in some places that it's not like this. And unreasonable and wicked men, is anybody hearing me this morning? Unreasonable and wicked men might get very, very close. But the Bible says that word delivered means to be rescued. I want to take you back to the previous chapter real quickly, chapter 2. In chapter number 2, it's talking about the day of the Lord. Well, actually, it's talking about the day of Christ, which is at hand. And it's talking about the revealing of the Antichrist. You all know this verse. It's chapter number 2. And it says something like this, and it's talking about the Holy Ghost. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. I believe that's saying when the Holy Ghost is, I've got him right here. He's going to usher me to the sky. Going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Only he who now left. So, isn't it good to know the devil's on a short leash? Holy Ghost is saying, not until God says so. Y'all believe that? Not until God says so. if that's the case on the tribulation being ushered in, which I'll escape and not be here for one second of it because the church will be right. If that's the case right there and the protection that the Holy Ghost has given, I believe God's big enough right now to protect me from unreasonable and wicked men. I agree with everything the preacher just said a minute ago. Might have to go through some persecution. Might have to face some things. But I remember a Daniel that made a pillar for a lion. Y'all listen, God's still that big. God's still that powerful. I still remember a God that when the furnace was heated 7 times hotter and they were bound with hosen, they went in bound with what man had bound them with. But God loosed them and said, walk around with me a little bit. Hallelujah. And even Nebuchadnezzar said, ye servants of the Most High God. He threw them in there making fun of them. But bless God, he knew somebody was protecting them from unreasonable and wicked. I remember a gallows that had Mordecai's name on it. But I know that a man named Mordecai didn't hang on them gallows. Oh, I remember a Joseph that got sold by his brethren, got lied on by Potiphar's wife. Sit down there to that dungeon as a 17-year-old boy, and when he come out as a 30-year-old man, he wasn't bitter. He wasn't hateful or anything like that. Bless God, he got a little sweeter in the way. I tell you, he knew that God was protecting him from unreasonable and wicked men. Hallelujah. I want to say something. We're going to be all right. Anybody with me? We're going to be all right. Oh, and that we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Oh, let's finish our verse right there. Let's finish our verse. But the Lord, hallelujah. I want to say something real quickly about that part right there. Every time I think of that, I'm finishing up. Help us not to be like a Peter that's got our eyes. You know how Peter, he has eyes. Sometimes in our conversations, it looks like we're looking around everywhere else except to the Lord. So here's what I'm saying. Sometimes our conversations is consumed by unreasonable and wicked men. We're talking more about what they're doing. I would to God that instead of doing all that, we get around each other's neck and say, I know all that's going on, preacher, but the Lord. Anybody get what I just said? But the Lord. But the Lord is what? He is faithful. And look how the verse ends right there. Boy, my Bible keeps a flipping on me, preacher. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Here comes establish, and he shall be like a tree. Amen, amen. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house on the rock, and the rains descended and the floods came, just like it did to the wicked man's house. But his house fell not, for it's founded upon a rock. Look what it says, and keep you from evil. That word keep is the Greek word philosso. It's that word that was used in Luke 2. That the shepherds were keeping watch over their flock. David said, don't worry about this uncircumcised Philistine. I's keeping the flock. I'd consider Goliath unreasonable and wicked men. And a lion and a bear come in, and God delivered me in the midst of these tribulations and trials that this preacher preached about. We're going to be all right. They're coming. He's right. They're coming. But the Lord. Somebody help me. But the Lord. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. He was God yesterday. He'll be God today. He is God today. And he shall be God forevermore. Thank you, preacher.
I love you. Don't you appreciate